This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, rockin' and rollin'. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Debbie Antonelli was on the call yesterday for Westwood One for the Women's National Championship game. You also saw her on your TV in the earlier rounds of the men's tournament, and she's one of the best voices in college basketball today, and she's kind enough to join us right now. Debbie, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this, and how you been?
Hey, Zach. Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's great to see you.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. Let me start you off with the big news last night. John Calipari leaves Kentucky, and he's going to Arkansas. When you saw that news play on out, just how did you kind of process that one?
A little known fact is I'm the first director of marketing and athletics at the University of Kentucky back in the late 80s. My first year at Kentucky was Eddie Sutton's last and Rick Pitino's first three. So I have uniquely sat in a position learning and understanding that great Kentucky basketball brand. And I was a little bit surprised. I was surprised because the lifetime contract that Coach Cal had and that he would leave that place to go to another institution inside the SEC. I'm not sure the reasons why. I'm sure we could speculate why he might have gone. But a fresh start of something new, trying to reinvigorate what he loves to do and coach the game. And maybe he just needed another place to get it recharged.
Now, I can't wait to see what's going to be next for Kentucky as they try to win another national championship. And we know what the standards are for Big Blue Nation. I know you talked about Pitino. I think I would be more shocked about Cal leaving to go to Arkansas if we do find, in fact, the news that Pitino leaves St. John's and goes back to Kentucky. I just don't see that happening. How about yourself?
Well, I mean, Coach Pitino is in the latter stages of his career, yet he continues to excel at a high level. And he's often said that was the one thing that he wished he had reconsidered was leaving Kentucky in the first place. I know how much he loves his basketball and his bourbon and his bluegrass. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was that. It's probably, I feel the opposite, actually, Zach. I'm more surprised that Cal left than I would be surprised to see Rick go back.
Who else do you think will be in play? Like, the names have been speculated, Nate Oates, Scott Drew, maybe Billy Donovan comes back to the college game. Are there a few names right now that intrigue you?
I'd throw Brad Stevens in there if he'd be willing to come back to college. But I know Billy. Billy has had great success on the college side. Now that college seems to be like the pros, I don't see it being that big of a difference because there is free agency and you can buy players. And I think now, because of the landscape of college basketball, I could definitely see Billy taking a look at it. And if he did, he would be the number one choice, I think.
Debbie Antonelli here with us. We'll get back to the men's game with the national championship game coming your way later tonight. But just how about the emotions that you're feeling with how much coverage and attention the women's game has received the last 2 years, and it's just getting bigger and bigger by the game throughout the last two seasons?
You know what, Zach, I couldn't quite figure out how to put my finger on it last year, but I definitely figured it out in November, and I started calling it Clarkonomics behind the play of Caitlin Clark. I mean, she has been the most positive disruptor in our game that we could have ever asked for. Very much like the LIV Tour was to the USGA and the PGA Tour, I think Caitlin's done a similar thing in our game. the attendance numbers, the ratings, all the attention around the game, the new people that are coming to our game to experience it, consume it for the first time. That is directly a derivative of what Caitlin has done. I heard this morning 45 different records in college basketball, if you count Big Ten, college, and what she's done in the NCAA tournament. And that is just absolutely remarkable when you consider the great names that she has passed along the path to achieve the scoring record. You have to have some context. I've been around the game a long time. I played against Cheryl Miller. I've covered all the players since. And it's just absolutely amazing to me what she's been able to do. So first off, let me say that. And I do think the first 50 years of Title IX was about opportunity. I think the next 50 is about investment. That's why the disruptor and the confluence of name, image, and likeness, the portal, and everything coming together on the women's side has equally helped the game grow. And then when you have Dawn Staley go 38-0 and win the national championship and win three in the last seven, that's just too good of a storyline to pass up by anybody who actually loves the game and loves women's sports. So it's been a fun ride. I hate that it had to end. I wish we could have kept playing because I think if we had played another week, we would have hit another ratings number. So it's all good, man, and I'm really excited about where the future's going.
What do you make about the GOAT debate with Caitlin Clark? I've said this. I don't consider her the greatest women's college basketball player of all time, but I think she's the most important with, like you said, how many eyeballs and how much attention she's brought to the TV sets. But I was kind of a little annoyed with the conversation over the weekend that some just couldn't say that she's great when obviously she's clearly a great basketball player.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lens of those that won the national championship that have the ability to say at a time in their career that that's how they can define greatness. But you have players on those teams that didn't score at a high level. Do you still, if they won a national championship, do you still consider them to be great? I think, to me, Caitlin is great. I think everything she's done around the game has been forward-thinking and team-first. And if you listen to her, it's team, then it's coaching staff and Lisa Bluter. And then it's the growth of the game. And it's in that order in some sort of fashion that her messaging is very clear and consistent. It's a great ambassador for our game. And then, my goodness, how can you not watch her play and see the things that she's been able to do when no one else has been able to do those things? So taking her team to the Final Four and to the national championship games back-to-back to me is good enough. And I would say this, Cheryl Swoops in 93 took a team that had – great talent, but not lesser talent, just really solid basketball players. They won a national championship. I thought Diana Taurasi did the same thing in 03. And then I thought Caitlin Clark did the same thing minus the championship. So I'm not discounting her in the greatness category at all. I think she is great. And I will continue to look at it through that lens.
And you just look back at the national championship game yesterday. The start was awesome with the 18 points in the first quarter. Her passing, it's weird to say that it's underrated with, I think, everyone knowing how great of a passer she is. It seemed like she got tired throughout the game because of how much pressure that was on her. But ultimately, I thought the difference in the game was just the size of South Carolina, how they dominated the paint. What stood out to you when you were watching the game yesterday on why South Carolina won?
Well, Zach, honestly, there's 38 times that South Carolina over imposed their will on every team they play. They're just more physically dominant. They're bigger and longer. They're deep. They've got two deep at every position. The biggest difference for Dawn Staley's team from last year to this year is they had two-way guards. And when you have two-way guards that can defend and score, shoot the three and create space around that great interior game, you got a much better balanced attack. They had seven players that averaged 8 points or better. They had the best bench in the country. They would average like 35 points off their bench. So this is a deep team. This was a balanced team. This is a team that was, you know, trending in this direction the whole year. They were not number one the first week of the season, but they were number one the rest of this time. And although they did get challenged in the NCAA tournament, they always found a way to win. And they were just too much for Iowa in this national championship.
Let me get your thoughts on this, Debbie Antonelli. One of my colleagues, Maggie Gray, hosts the morning show here at CBS Sports Radio. She said that Kentucky should actually place a phone call to Dawn Staley. Could you see Dawn Staley one day coaching in the men's game?
I certainly think she has the skill set to do so. She has the communication skill set. She has the teaching, the knowledge, all the things that come with it. I don't think there's any question she could do it. Now, does she want to do it? Because I've heard her mention many times that, you know, there's not one piece of hardware that she's missing in her trophy case. So there's not anything that she has not done. What she does enjoy most about the college game and in this space right now, excuse me, is helping young women achieve what they want to achieve. She calls herself a dream merchant. And what she's trying to do is help these young women that come underneath her tutelage and help them become the best versions of themselves. And I've known Dawn for a long time, and I do believe that is true, Zach. I do believe that she knows that she has incredible influence and the ability to lift young women. And I think that's where her passion really lies. So I'd be surprised if she left to take a bigger job, unless it was so much more money, because she's doing pretty well at South Carolina. But if it was just a money bag situation that she just absolutely couldn't turn down, I think Dawn's quality of life is pretty good right now.
On the way out with Debbie Antonelli, getting to the men's championship game tonight, how does Purdue, right? We had these two just titans in the sport right now, but we know UConn is just a different beast as they're just steamrolling through everyone in this tournament. How does Purdue give UConn a game and make it close towards the end?
Well, I think they have to get it in a quarter court situation and just have Zach Edey have a big number. I'll be interested to see how Danny Hurley decides to guard Zach Edey. I think you got to give him different looks. I think you start out playing him straight up, see if you can put some pressure on him on the other end of the floor. But the guards, the backcourt, the speed, the versatility, the ability to share the ball are all things that, including their depth, that are just too powerful, I think, in the NCAA tournament on the men's side. And, you know, they've been winning by double digits. They've won every game they played the last 2 years by double digits. I don't see that being a big difference here. And Purdue cannot turn the ball over. They have to make sure they make threes, they don't turn it over, and they make sure they feed the beast inside and let him go to work and see if they can put Donovan Klingon at a deficit with some fouls and see if they can force UConn to play small. Because I think there is a smaller lineup that UConn can play and still have success, but I think that's what you got to try to do.
She's Debbie Antonelli. Debbie, really enjoyed your coverage of the women's tournament and the men's tournament as well. Appreciate you carving out some time for us today.
Thanks for having me on, Zach. Please have me back.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.